State and county governments have been hit hard by the recession and the increased costs of fighting terrorism. Around the country, elected officials are struggling to put their budgets back in order. Their work is being made harder by the rising costs of running police departments, courts, and prisons. A new report from the Justice Department says that in 1999, the nation spent four times as much on the criminal justice system as it did in 1982. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports on the challenge of fighting crime while spending less.
There was relief and elation in Seattle's law enforcement community last December when a suspect was arrested and charged in connection with the Green River killings, the nation's largest unsolved serial murder case. King County prosecutor Norm Mailig acknowledged trying the case would be expensive, but he downplayed that concern.
There is never a price tag put on justice. The mission of this office is to serve justice, and that's what we're going to do.
But of course, there is a cost of justice. Government officials say prosecuting the serial murder case could cost $15 million over the next 3 years. And if the prosecutors seek the death penalty, the cost will run even higher. All this at a time when King County has a projected budget shortfall of more than $45 million. The example may be a bit extreme. But the reality is that across the country, state and local governments have less money to spend on the justice system. And Mark Maurer of the Sentencing Project says some things are likely to change.
The changes are going to be on the margins. It's, you know, whether a prosecutor agrees to a plea bargain that calls for a year in prison as opposed to 18 months in prison, or whether it involves diverting somebody into drug treatment who might have gotten 3 or 6 months in jail. These aren't dramatic changes necessarily, but in the aggregate, they can add up to a substantial impact on the system.
States with the death penalty face an additional financial challenge. The former district attorney of Boston, Ralph Martin, notes that those cases typically cost 5 to 8 times more than a non-capital murder case.
You may find yourself saying, can I truly afford to pursue the death penalty in the same number of cases that I might have? I mean, it's a very hard calculus. I don't know that people do it in those concrete terms, but they may have to do it in some sort of subliminal or subconscious way.
But it is in the area of sentencing and crime prevention where the more overt and significant changes may take place. In the 1990s, the country tried to buy its way out of the crime problem by building more prisons and locking people up for longer periods of time. It was incredibly expensive and, in the view of many, not very effective. Martin, along with many defense lawyers and community advocates, hopes the new budget crunch will force people to consider the lessons learned.
We learned that locking them up and throwing away the key was only a limited response, and that you have to pay attention to kids when they're younger, and you have to pay attention to victims before they get old enough to become the defendants of the future. We learned that. Now is not the time to forget that lesson.
That view is echoed in part by Bob McCullough, the St. Louis County prosecutor and a board member of the National District Attorneys Association.
We all know as prosecutors that you see the same people over and over again. And if it's not on a drug possession charge, it may be a drug-related crime. We see a guy who makes his living as a burglar, stealing everything he can in order to support his habits, send him off to the penitentiary, and if he doesn't have any sort of effective treatment, he's right back doing what he was doing as soon as he gets out.
The new fiscal realities may give decision makers political cover to try new things and adopt more alternatives to prison. Indeed, with the crime rate falling and public support for lengthy sentences for nonviolent offenders waning, the trend may have already begun. Four states, including some that had taken a very hardline approach, have scaled back mandatory sentencing laws. California is requiring drug treatment for first and second time offenders. Other states have also expanded the role of treatment in lieu of jail. But Mark Maurer, whose group advocates alternatives to prison, acknowledges that effective alternatives carry their own price tag.
States are faced with a real trade-off between short-term and long-term costs right now. If they're successful in treating some offenders in non-prison settings, they may stand to gain very substantial savings over the long term by not having to build new prisons. The challenge, though, is that in the short run, there may be additional costs.
Just how various states and local governments address these issues will ultimately be decided not just on the basis of money, but on what the political realities are. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.